Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from Rome, we hear from Father Vivian Boland, a friar of the Irish province, who is an assistant to the Master of the Order for Fraternal Life and Formation. Father Vivian's preaching is entitled, Called to be Missionary Disciples.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas carried on from Perga till they reached Antioch in Pisidia. Here they went to synagogue on the Sabbath and took their seats. When the meeting broke up, many Jews and devout converts joined Paul and Barnabas, and in their talks with them, Paul and Barnabas urged them to remain faithful to the grace God had given them. The next Sabbath, almost the whole town assembled to hear the word of God. When they saw the crowds, the Jews, prompted by jealousy, used blasphemies and contradicted everything Paul said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, "We had to proclaim the word of God to you first, but since you have rejected it, since you do not think yourselves worthy of eternal life, we must turn to the pagans. For this is what the Lord commanded us to do when he said, 'I have made you a light for the nations, so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth.'" It made the pagans very happy to hear this, and they thanked the Lord for his message. All who were destined for eternal life became believers. Thus the word of the Lord spread through the whole countryside. But the Jews worked upon some of the devout women of the upper classes and the leading men of the city, and persuaded them to turn against Paul and Barnabas and expel them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in defiance and went off to Iconium. But the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The second reading is from the book of the Apocalypse. I, John, saw a huge number, impossible to count, of people from every nation, race, tribe, and language. They were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. One of the elders said to me, "These are the people who have been through the great persecution. And because they have washed their robes white again in the blood of the Lamb, they now stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his sanctuary. And the one who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. They will never hunger or thirst again, neither the sun nor scorching wind will ever plague them, because the Lamb who is at the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes." And the Gospel reading is from St. John, chapter 10. Jesus said, "The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, and no one will ever steal them from me. The Father who gave them to me is greater than anyone, and no one can steal from the Father. The Father and I are one." The readings invite us to think about journeys, different kinds of journeys. A first obvious meaning is geographical, journeys from place to place. Paul, Barnabas, and other friends and disciples make journeys away from Jerusalem through the lands and cities of Asia Minor and on to Europe, to Malta, to Italy. So the Acts of the Apostles tells us a movement away from Jerusalem, spoken of first by Jesus at the beginning of the Acts and then carried through in the preaching missions of the Apostles that are recorded there. This movement away from Jerusalem to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, complements the movement of Luke's first work, the third gospel, which is always towards Jerusalem. The gospel has this movement at its heart, towards Jerusalem. The Acts of the Apostles has this movement at its heart, away from Jerusalem. The purpose of these journeys falls under the rubric of bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. the apostles called to be the light to the nations, bring the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. This last phrase has a long tradition of use in the scriptures. The servant of the Lord, spoken of in the book of Isaiah, is the first whose mission is described in this way, to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. Then Simeon, when he sees the child Jesus presented in the temple, rejoices that he is seeing God's salvation, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles. In the Gospel of John, Jesus describes himself as the light of the world, whereas in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus describes his disciples as the light of the world. The disciples are to be his witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus says to the apostles at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. It is what Acts records, how the message of the resurrection was carried to Rome, to the heart of the known world, and so we can say, to the ends of the earth. Paul understands himself as the apostle to the Gentiles, the one who has been sent to open the eyes of the pagans to the light of God. This was always a meaning of this phrase in the scriptures, that God's salvation was not just for his own chosen people, but for all the nations, something which would reach in God's good time to the very ends of the earth and be made available to all people. So this is the theological meaning of these journeys. Through this travelling of Jesus, the travelling of Paul, the travelling of the other apostles, deacons and disciples, the word of the Lord spread through the whole countryside. On one level, we're talking about ordinary human journeying. On another level, we're talking about the light of God's word beginning to shine in new places, in new people, in other lives. These will then be the people who have been through the great persecution, which is spoken about in the second reading from the book of the Apocalypse, or at least some of these people whose lives have been enlightened through the preaching of Paul and the other apostles, will in due course be the people who will have been through the great persecution. So there are journeys other than physical, geographical ones that are central to Christian life and experience. One of these is a strange kind of journey, for it means standing firm in time of persecution. The Lamb leads to springs of living water those who stood firm during the persecution of Nero. They now stand at the throne of God, who will spread his tent over them. The spreading of his tent over them has an intimate feel to it, a feel of security, reassurance, protection, of embrace, God taking to himself those who have remained faithful to Jesus through the great persecution. And it echoes a phrase in the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, his banner over me was love. It will be so for those who have been through the great persecution. They will be taken into the embrace of the Eternal Father, and his tent, his banner over them, will be love. So what kind of journey is this? Not a journey from one place to another, but a journey from one condition to another, from one stage or experience of faith to another. All who follow the Good Shepherd seek to hear his voice in the changing situations of their lives and to live up to what he asks, to respond to the call. Today is Vocation Sunday, traditionally the fourth Sunday of Easter time, when we read passages from John's Gospel which talk about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the shepherd who knows his own and who calls them and who sends them. Pope Francis speaks frequently of all Christians as missionary disciples. It is our nature as Christian people not just to be disciples who are following the Lord in how we live and bearing witness through our lives to what we believe, but are missionary disciples who see a responsibility, a call coming with the grace that we receive, which sends us out, or at least obliges us always to be thinking beyond ourselves, outside ourselves, to those who are not yet enlightened, to those who have not yet heard the word or seen the light that Jesus brings into human life. We're asked to think of vocations today, to the priesthood, to the religious life, to particular vocations, as we call them, within the family of the church, but to think of our own vocation, everybody's vocation, the vocation of all who are baptized, and to think of that not as something which is heard and answered once for all, but as a call that comes to us each day, a call that comes to us each day and that may yet ask new things of us as we journey through life, as we follow our camino, our path, our walk, the trajectory of our life, to be ready to keep our ears open, our eyes open, our hearts open to the ways in which the Lord might yet call us to reach out, to be at the service of other people, to be able to help our neighbour along the way as we travel this journey of our lives. So here's another meaning of the phrase, to the ends of the earth. It's not just all geographical places and all chronological times, but refers also to all human situations and all human circumstances, the ends of the earth, everybody, everywhere, at all times, in every circumstance and situation. It means all individual lives. It means you and me as well, called to be lights to the world, to witness to and speak about the one who we believe to be the light of the world, seeking to bring the gospel to bear on all the moments of our own lives, everything in our thoughts and words and actions. Each of us is to be a missionary then, at least, and in the first place, to ourselves. There is at least this one territory, our own life, our own heart, our own mind, for which we must take responsibility and seek to bring the light of Christ's word to bear on it. But we will discover very quickly that nobody is restricted to this one territory alone, that our call, the grace we've received, is not just to think about our own salvation and to take the steps necessary to ensure that we remain faithful to what we have received. The call is for us to go out, to move out from ourselves, to move out, to watch out, to look out, to respond to the needs, to the necessities of other people, to the neighbour we encounter along the way. All kinds of journeys are required if we are to remain faithful to the grace we have received. Sometimes physical journeys, geographical journeys, moving from place to place, but always spiritual journeys, times of development, times of change, times in which we need to remain open to new possibilities, to new ways, to new commitments, the new things which the Lord calls us to do if we seek, as we seek, to remain faithful to the light we have received and to the voice which we hear calling us. Thank you.